In the name of Jesus, amen. It seems that no one wants to be religious. Spiritual? Yes. Religious? No.
I'm not religious, people say, but I'm very spiritual. Even Christians have jumped on the I hate religion bandwagon. I'm not religious, they say. I just follow Jesus. Not long ago, a video went viral on YouTube. As of this morning, it had something around 19 million views. The title of it is, Why I Hate Religion, But Love Jesus. The opening lyrics ask, What if I told you that Jesus came to abolish religion? Well, what if you did? With so many people hating religion, and with Christians making the claim that Jesus hated religion too, perhaps we should stop and consider this. Is religion an evil thing? Did Jesus hate religion? Did he come to abolish it? But instead of fabricating a Jesus who likes the things that we like and hates the things that we hate, perhaps instead we should learn from the Jesus who comes to us in the Scriptures and have the Scriptures teach us if he was religious or not. So what do we know of Jesus? We know for a fact that he was born of a religious woman. And Joseph, to whom she was betrothed, was a religious man. We know from the visitation of the angel Gabriel and from the song, the Magnificat, that Mary sings, that she was well-versed in the Old Testament scriptures and its theology. We also know that people of the first century didn't have their own personal Bibles in print, Kindle, or otherwise, which means that Mary came to know the wisdom of the Lord by hearing his word read and preached in synagogue and temple. Like any other faithful Israelite, Mary observed the Sabbath, went to church every Sunday, we would say, which also means that before Jesus was even born, while he was still in his mother's womb, he heard the word of the Lord, just as babies today still hear the word of the Lord in their mother's wombs. The scriptures also tell us that Mary followed the religion of Yahweh, that is, she circumcised Jesus on the eighth day. His first shedding of blood for us. Mary chose for her son, Jesus, that he would be circumcised in accordance with God's command, just as mothers today choose for their children to be baptized according to God's command. The scriptures also say that Mary waited for the days of her purification according to the law of Moses. That is, she followed the religion God had established through Moses and waited until she was declared by God through his priests to be clean. Then she took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And she offered the sacrifice of 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, according to what it says in the law of the Lord. So what are we to make of this? Are we really to think that all of this ceremony, that all of this ritual, that all of this religion was evil? Are we really to believe that Jesus hated this religion? Hated all that his mother had done? Jesus was certainly born into a religious family, no question about that. But what about Jesus himself? Was he religious? From birth, as we've said, he was circumcised. And with his family, like the little ones in our church, he was brought to synagogue and temple. He kept the Sabbath, went to church every Sunday, we would say. And by the time he was a 12-year-old boy, he had learned the Word of God so deeply that he amazed even the rabbis. He was well-versed, well-catechized in the Torah and its theology. And what does Jesus say of the temple with all of its religion, its sacrifices and incense, its vested priests and reverence, its liturgical worship and prayer? What does Jesus say about this temple and all of its religion? He says of it that it is his Father's house. Throughout his entire life, Jesus participated in the liturgical worship of the people of Israel, a liturgy that forms the basis of the liturgy we're using this morning, of the liturgy that we use every Sunday here at Faith. Never once did Jesus denounce liturgical worship or try to reform it. On the contrary, he embraced it as his own. In this, he stood out from his Jewish brothers and sisters in no way. He participated in the sacrifices commanded by God. He listened to the Torah and the rabbis' sermons. He prayed and sang psalms with God's people. Not only was Jesus' worship liturgical and reverent, he also participated in the ancient version of the church year. He observed the feasts and the festivals that Israel did, and he fulfilled each one himself. If you remember, the very night on which he was betrayed, the night before he gave his life for you and for your salvation, shedding his holy blood, that very night he was celebrating with his disciples the Passover. And then they sang psalms together. And then they went out into the garden and prayed. Was Jesus religious? He was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. In the scriptures, we see that Jesus was called Rabbi, which means teacher. He preached in the synagogues. He fasted. He prayed. He paid offering. He gave to the poor. He taught his disciples and us to do the very same. And of course, he taught us that rote, repetitive, terrible religious prayer that we call the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. Was Jesus religious? He established the apostles and the pastoral office, so that for you and the peoples of all nations, there might be a preaching of repentance, a preaching of the free forgiveness of all of your sins. He instructs his pastors to feed his sheep. He calls his sheep his church. At his bidding, the very first of all the pastors would gather the people together so that they might be taught the apostles' doctrine. He gathered them together for koinonia, communion, fellowship in the one true faith, for holy communion in his very body and blood, and for prayer. The New Testament scriptures adjure us not to forsake the Christian assembly. Don't skip church, as some have done. And what did Jesus have to say about those empty ceremonies, those religious rituals like baptism and absolution and Holy Communion. It is Jesus himself who establishes holy baptism, baptism into God's triune name. A baptism, Peter tells us, that is for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptism and teaching by which we are to make disciples of all nations. It is Jesus himself who establishes absolution, breathes his spirit upon his apostles, and tells them to forgive and retain sins. It is Jesus himself who establishes this Holy Supper, a new Passover in which he is the Passover lamb, and we are given his body to eat and his blood to drink, so that the angel of death might pass over us. Of this cup, he says, "This is the New Testament in my blood." This is the New Testament. This is the New Covenant. Here, even the ungodly man may come. Here, even the man who does not work may come. Here, for the sake of Christ Jesus, you are credited with his perfect righteousness. Here, the prodigal son may return and feast. Here, the Lord gives his forgiveness to you as he says to you, for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. This is the New Testament from Jesus' own lips. Was Jesus religious? Perfectly so. He fulfills all that God commanded in the Old Testament. The law that you could not fulfill, he has fulfilled. And he establishes all that God commands in the New Testament. Grace, free, unmerited, and unconditional for you. Because he is perfectly righteous, our Lord Jesus is the unblemished Lamb who offers himself as the atoning sacrifice that blots out all your sins. Because he is perfectly religious, the scriptures say that this very day he stands in the heavenly temple as your great high priest. Was Jesus religious? Perfectly so. And he's done it all for you. Why? So that you don't have to be religious? No. So that you may worship God without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of your life. Jesus did not come to abolish religion. He came to fulfill it and to do it, the one true religion, so that you might have a share in it with him. In the word of the Lord today, we heard of Naaman, who shook his head at the foolish ritual and religion that God had proposed. Wash 7 times in that filthy river Jordan won't do anything. In Naaman, we see how human reason views the things of God as foolishness. And the same is true for baptism today. Washed in that little font won't do anything. If Naaman had not set aside his reason and believed in the Lord, he would have remained in his leprosy. And if God says that baptism now saves you, then you must set aside everything else you think and trust in these words of his. Baptism now saves you. In the word of the Lord, we heard today of another man whom Jesus healed of leprosy. Jesus sternly charged that man, saying, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. There goes Jesus again, hating religion. No, there goes Jesus again, fulfilling religion. Show yourself to the priest and make your offering, he says. Why? Because Jesus has come to fulfill and establish true religion for you, and to give you and all men proof. To give a proof, he says. Proof that he is who he is. Proof that he will keep his word. Proof that if he can heal a leprous man and make him clean before God, then he can heal you, and indeed you are cleansed by him before God. I am religious. I am religious because I am spiritual. Because the Holy Spirit has enlightened me with his gospel and has taught me that no one comes to the Father except through the Son. I am religious. I am religious because I don't always follow Jesus. But when I sin and stray, Jesus follows after me like a shepherd after a lost sheep. I am religious. For there is one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself is both the atoning sacrifice for all my sin, and Jesus himself is my great high priest. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.